Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Over the past 40 years, Americans have cut their snooze time by 1 or 2 hours a night. We now sleep less than any people in any other industrialized country. Chronic sleeping problems afflict as many as 70 million Americans, costing the nation billions in medical expenses, accidents, lost productivity, according to recent studies. Now, last year, doctors wrote a record 43 million prescriptions for sleeping pills. So what's going on? How does this deprivation affect our bodies? Our guest today, holistic health expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., is back with us once again for her best tips on how you can sleep like a baby. I guarantee no one will fall asleep during this program when listening to Dr. Susan. And here she is now. Dr. Susan, welcome back to the program. Pleasure to have you, and I love the topic today. And she dozed off
Rick, hi. Thank you.
Dozed off during the introduction, and I certainly can understand that. So now you're awake and refreshed. How are you today? I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I'm doing great, and this is an important topic for every single person, because most people are in sleep debt. So I'm so glad that we chose this topic for today.
Well, I will be taking notes along with the rest of America as we talk about this. And let's start with what happens when we don't get enough sleep. And so many of us fall in that don't get enough sleep category. What's the adverse effect? What happens when we don't get enough?
Yes. So if you think you're alone on this, keep this in mind. 95% of Americans have suffered from a sleep disorder at some time in their lives, and 60% suffer from some persistent sleep disorders. And when you don't get enough sleep, it really takes a toll on your body, because there's nothing more restorative for the body than good sleep, and plenty of it, night after night. Lack of sleep, Rick, affects everything from causing you to gain weight to job performance, to school grades, health, and family harmony. And women in particular, especially mothers, are the most sleep deprived. And who was it? It was the National Sleep Foundation. They did a poll that 25% of couples are too sleepy for sex. And it's also been shown that 6 hours of sleep nightly, and a lot of people don't even get that, is the equivalency to driving drunk in terms of your mental functions. So lack of sleep, one more point, it also undermines your body's ability to deal with stress. And one way to tell if you're getting enough shut-eye is to see if you wake at a regular time each day without an alarm. If you require a buzzer to get out of bed in the morning, you're not getting enough sleep.
So if you wake up and the NBC Nightly News is on, chances are you're suffering from a lack of sleep.
That's right.
Okay, so that's good. You said so many important things there, and we will unpack those as we go through the conversation today with Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., talking about sleepless in America. You touched on that there, that some people think you need, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours, whatever. I've heard people say, I get by on 4. I'm proud of it. How much sleep do we really need each night?
Yeah, well, adults need between 7 and 8 and a quarter hours of sleep at night to maximize their ability to function daily. Adolescents need 9 to 9 and a quarter hours. Preschoolers need 12 hours. Toddlers, 13 hours. And babies need 14 to 18 hours of sleep every day. And often babies, you know, this is all about how to sleep like a baby. Often with babies, it's not a problem, but everyone else, it is.
Got that right there. Sleepless in America, the topic of the program today. Now, in one of Dr. Susan's latest books, Wired for High-Level Wellness, you write about the connection between weight and sleep. Fascinating. Give us a little more information on that connection.
Yeah, well, sleep affects your hormones that regulate satiety and hunger, and how efficiently you burn calories. So to put this really simply, too little sleep makes you hungry, but especially for foods that are high in calories and low in nutritional value. And these include processed junk foods, especially those made with white sugar and white flour, and fried foods like French fries and potato chips. And, you know, keep in mind that lack of sleep primes your body to hold on to all the calories you eat, even if you have a pretty healthy diet. And it basically takes away your willpower and makes you choose more unhealthy foods. So if weight is important for you, you've got to make getting good sleep non-negotiable in your healthy living lifestyle.
The book is Wired for High-Level Wellness, I just mentioned. Other new books, Invest in Yourself with Exercise, and the latest, Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. Information on all of these at Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. And so much more on our website, but the book really goes into the topic today as well as it does many others. Are there any recent studies to confirm that connection you just talked about between lack of sleep and packing on the pounds?
Actually, there are quite a few, but I'll give you one that's very impressive. It was done in New York City at Columbia University, and researchers found, Rick, that people who slept 6 hours a night were 23% more likely to be obese, not just overweight, than people who slept 7 to 9 hours. But those who slept 5 hours were 50% more likely, and those who slept 4 hours were 73% more likely to be obese. So if you're eager to drop a few pounds, like I just said, make getting good sleep an important part of your healthy living lifestyle. In my private practice and my latest two books, not only do I recommend to get more sleep if you want to lose weight, but I even recommend quality sleep because I think it makes for better relationships. If everyone would just get more sleep and feel more rested, I think, Rick, that people would be more thoughtful towards one another, and the dynamics of a family would run more smoothly. We'd all be in better moods and be happier, all the adults and children. And what a wonderful gift that would be to give your family, friends, business associates, and everyone in the community, in essence, our country and world, if you would just make it a priority to get good sleep every night.
You've given us a number of reasons why we need to do that. You've talked about nothing more restorative for the body than a good night's sleep, night after night after night. Tell us specifically what happens with a consistent lack of sleep night after night after night.
Yes, and good. You said consistent. I'm not talking about every once in a while you have a bad night of sleep. But this is if you're consistent with not getting good sleep. It leads to a variety of health problems, including a toxic buildup in your body. As I mentioned, easy weight gain. Well, maybe people want this. Accelerated aging, depression, irritability, impatience, low sex drive, memory loss, lethargy, relationship problems, accidents, all kinds. And at least, it's been reported, 1,500 drowsy driving fatalities each year. And as I mentioned, studies reveal that driving on only 6 hours of sleep is like driving drunk for your mental functions. And you look at cars these days, you know, they're so cozy and comfortable with cruise control. That doesn't help. But the instant you ever feel drowsy at the wheel of an automobile, when your eyelids get heavy, you've got to get off the road. And you look at, you know, people today compared to olden days, people are sleeping less now than they did a century ago. And that's thanks to electric lighting, maybe the shift to an urban industrialized economy, not to mention what? Late night TV. And the result, is a disruption of the basic body metabolism. And with workloads and daily stress increasing for many people, not just here, but in the UK and worldwide, sleep issues loom larger than ever for both individuals and I believe society.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned television. I think we both are similar in age, and I can remember the Tonight Show had ended 1 o'clock, and that was the end of television. They would play the national anthem. Some guy came in and said a prayer, and there was nothing there until like 6, 7 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah.
So, okay, I might as well go to bed because there's nothing to watch. Then Tom Snyder came on, did the Tomorrow Show from 1 to 2 o'clock. And then you did a rebroadcast of the local news after that. So, boy, yeah, it really cuts into your sleep because now you feel like I'm going to miss something if I turn off the television. And you said so many interesting things here that I need to go back because it's so important to everybody, all of us that fall into this sleep deprivation category. Let's take a brief look at sleep, how it affects our hormones and stress level. And that's something so many of us feel that we're under stress. We feel more stress during the course of the day. Some of it may be from lack of sleep, I take it.
Absolutely. Now, Corinne Spiegel and her colleagues at the University of Chicago, they did a few studies, but one in particular, and they asked research participants to stay in bed. I wouldn't want to be in this study. For just 4 hours a night for 6 nights, then 12 hours a night for 7 nights. And when sleep deprived, blood sugars, cortisol, the sympathetic nervous system activity rose, and then the thyrotropin, which regulates your thyroid function, fell. So in other words, the results of this study show that chronic sleep deprivation forces the body into that fight or flight response, pushing blood sugars and other hormone related functions totally out of kilter. And we'll talk a little bit more later about cortisol, but when you have higher cortisol levels, that's one of the stress hormones, among other things, what happens? It leads to memory loss, an increase in fat storage, a decrease in muscle, and that's the perfect combination if you want to lower your metabolism and gain weight easily. But if you want to increase your muscle mass, we should all want that. And that's necessary if you want a fit, lean body. You need at least 8 hours of good, sound sleep nightly to encourage the muscle maintenance and growth and the release of that beautiful hormone called the human growth hormone, which is responsible for, among other things, to keep us youthful and strong. So to put this another way, in a very positive way, sleeping can make you slimmer and more fit.
We look all over for diet tips, and it could be as simple as what you're saying, if I fully understand it, a little more sleep could actually help us in terms of a diet process, losing some weight, making sure we don't fall into that obesity category.
Yeah, absolutely. That should be right there, top of the list.
So much more to talk about. We'll take a break and be back. We're talking about Sleepless in America with our guest on the program, Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, holistic health expert. The books that we're talking about tonight, sort of indirectly, because she has great chapters in there on Sleepless, Wired for High-Level Wellness, Invest in Yourself with Exercise, and Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. More with Dr. Susan right after these messages. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, our guest on the program, Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, website susansmithjones.com. Follow her Twitter at Susan Smith-Jones. The topic is Sleepless in America. Does lack of sleep accelerate the aging process?
All right. Great, great question. And yes, it does. In that same Spiegel study at the University of Chicago, the participants who slept only 4 hours per night for a week metabolized glucose 40% more slowly than usual, and that's similar to the rate seen in very elderly people. And glucose metabolism quickly returned to normal after getting the full night's sleep every night for a week.
That's just such powerful information there, and we're all looking for ways to lose weight, to slow down the aging process. It may be as simple to help it along as getting some extra sleep at night. Go back again over how do you know that you're sleep deprived? That's a, That's a good list. And we all, as you're going through there, doing mental checklist of, okay, I can check that, I can check that, I can check that. How do we know we're sleep deprived? What is the key to letting us know we actually need more sleep?
Yes. Well, if you fall asleep during a really good radio talk show interview, that would be a tip. And if you become sluggish, drowsy, or fatigued, particularly, Rick, after lunch or in the middle of the afternoon, you are sleep deprived. If you have difficulty getting up in the morning, you know, one of my clients basically sleeps through two really loud alarms. You're sleep deprived. So these are all little tips that you might be sleep deprived.
You hear people say, I know that I don't get enough during the week, but on weekends I catch up. Do you? Is it possible to catch up on sleep? And talk about the benefits of napping, which many people do during the course of a day or evening.
Yes, and you know what? You can't really catch up. Every hour you lose adds to your sleep indebtedness, and you cannot expect to catch up by sleeping in late one day a week. The lost sleep accumulates progressively and contributes to major long-term health problems that I mentioned before. And this doesn't just pertain to adults, because children and teens actually need, as mentioned, more sleep than adults. And sleep loss affects how they learn, increases their chance of accidents and depression, and their violent and aggressive behavior. There are a few enlightened businesses that are adopting a pioneering view that napping actually can promote productivity. However, remember, if you have insomnia, naps may not be the best thing for you. By taking the edge off your sleepiness, an afternoon nap might make it a little bit harder for you to go to sleep at night. But naps are also not recommended right after meals, and a lot of people have never known this before. It's natural, Rick, to want a nap after eating, because distension of the stomach from the meal increases the sleep deep drive, or the deep sleep drive, however you want to refer to it. And the problem is that if you overeat, the digestive process may interfere with the quality of your sleep, and conversely, sleep may interfere with the digestive process. So you're better off to allow digestion to occur before sleeping, as both digestion and sleep tend to work better when performed separately.
Let's go to one of the books I mentioned that you've written recently, Rave Reviews. Books are available, of course, at Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Touching chapters in here on the topic today, Sleepless in America. And in the book, Invest in Yourself with Exercise, you talk about exercise during the day, and one of the benefits, it helps you sleep better at night. Explain that connection.
Yeah, so really, if you have a problem sleeping at night, think about exercise. Are you a sedentary person, or are you exercising a little bit every day? Exercise helps you sleep better, but you don't want to engage in strenuous exercise too late at night, because it will actually accelerate the body's metabolic rate, which will then remain revved up for a few hours, making it a little bit tougher to go to sleep. I am definitely a morning exercise person. I'm a morning person. I like to get it out of the way. Then I have no more excuses about exercise the rest of the day. But if by chance you have insomnia, exercising 4 hours before bedtime will help you sleep much better. But again, if you get some exercise in throughout the day, but not right before you go to sleep, that will help you sleep better at night.
Give us your thoughts on how to create the perfect environment in the bedroom conducive to sleeping. So many take their phones in there. So many have televisions that are on. We fall asleep watching the television. How do we create the perfect environment to go in and get a peaceful night's sleep?
All right. So this will be the abridged version. On my website, if you go to blog and find my sleep blog, that will be a little bit longer. And then, of course, I've got a whole chapter on my commandments to getting the best sleep and to sleep like a baby in Wired for High Level Wellness. But here are some things you can do. I'll just run through them. Sleep in natural fiber pajamas and bed sheets, you know, your linens, your what you sleep in, because you sleep better that way. You want the bedroom to be dark and quiet. You want a little bit of fresh air, even if it's in the winter. And a green plant helps because it gives off oxygen and takes up carbon dioxide. You want the room to be cool if possible, and you want the pillow to be cool. What I sometimes do is I'll take a Ziploc bag filled with ice cubes. I'll put it on top of my pillow, and I'll remove it before I go to bed. The coolness on your face actually helps you sleep. 2 to 3 drops of the essential oil of lavender on a pillowcase or a diffuser next to the bed promotes relaxation and calmness. And, of course, you want a good mattress. You want a few good pillows. If you side sleep, put a spare pillow between your legs and under your knees when you're on your back. And it's really good, especially for women. Avoid sleeping on your stomach, on your front side, as it can lead to severe low back pain, but a lot of wrinkles on your face.
How about electronics in the bedroom? Good, bad, in the middle? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, I think the bedroom should be for sleep and sex only. When you have the TV on at night, the light from the TV shuts down melatonin and makes it, if you wake up and the TV's on and you see the light, or if you get up, Rick, to go to the bathroom at night and you flash that light on brightly, it will shut down the melatonin. So it's much better to actually have no electronics in the bedroom at all.
I want to talk one more question on bedroom, and we'll move on to some tips for a better night's sleep. But so many people fall asleep on the couch. They may fall asleep in the lazy boy. They get up and they go to bed. You get up, you sort of wake yourself up again. Maybe you've got to go get into your sleepwear for night. You do a couple of things before you actually go into bed and begin a night's sleep in bed. Is that sleep? If I fall asleep on the couch, have to get up, go through a 15-minute process to actually get into bed, how impactful is that on a good night's sleep?
It is better to get uninterrupted hours of sleep because you need to go through, this is all in my book, but you need to go through 5 REM cycles, and a REM cycle is usually 90 minutes. And then you need 5 of those cycles to get the optimum release of your human growth hormone. So if you're on the easy chair or the couch and you go to sleep and then you wake up and you do a few things and you go to bed and then an hour later, you wake up because you forgot to go to the bathroom or brush your teeth, that's not ideal. You want to get everything out of the way and then get into bed and sleep like a baby.
We've talked about how a lack of sleep can lead to. I'm going to go through some of these problems I've been jotting down as you've been going through the conversation here. Weight gain, accelerated aging, depression, irritability, impatience, low sex drive. I got that twice. Memory loss, lethargy, relationship problems, accidents, a toxic buildup. Okay, now we know the negatives. Again, give me, as we close up here today, a couple of tips to get a good night's sleep. And this comes from the book, by the way, Susan's book, Uplifted. You'll get all of this there as well. But a shortened version of that, what are the best tips for a better night's sleep? Tips that you use.
Yeah, so this first one is magical, and it's about increasing your evening body heat. It's an effective way to promote a deeper sleep. You know how it's a ritual for many families, if they have a baby, to give the baby a bath before bedtime. And there's something to that. Normally, Rick, your body temperature hits a peak about 2 hours before bedtime. And as your body temperature drops, melatonin, that's a sleep hormone to help you sleep, is released, and your body gets physiologically ready for sleep. And here's the key. The bigger the drop in temperature, the deeper the drop into deep sleep. Now, this is fascinating to me, and I've studied this for decades. People with insomnia do not have the normal drop in temperature, so they aren't as ready for deep sleep. And heating up the body with, say, exercise, maybe 4 hours, if you're a nighttime exerciser, 4 hours before bedtime, because you want to give it enough time for the adrenaline release caused by exercise to wear off. But doing that can assist the physiological drive into deep sleep. A hot bath 2 hours before bedtime. But my favorite is, and you know this, it's taking a sauna, an infrared sauna that I have in my home. If you do that in the evening, because that takes your whole body and heats it up, and then the overall increased body temperature with its accompanying big drop back to normal from an infrared sauna, and you can read a lot about this on my website, helps promote sound sleep. Another way to assure that you have quality shut-eye is to make sure your bed, as I said, is for sleep and sex. You want to avoid working, eating, watching TV in bed. But reading before you fall asleep is okay, but try to read something that might be inspirational, uplifting, or calming, like my book, Uplifted.
Uplifted, yes, that came to mind.
Yeah. Nature sounds are a great thing to have on a little device next to your bed that might help you sleep. You want to keep your mind as positive as possible. And listen, Rick, I recommend to never watch the nightly news before you go to sleep. Because even if you think, I'm a positive person and I won't let what I see and hear on the nightly news affect me, it's hard not to be affected by what you see in the news. You want to take positive thoughts into your mind and body. Always pray before you go to sleep. That goes without saying, but I'll say your prayers and be positive. The next thing that's really big is you don't want to eat too close to bedtime. A big spicy meal may cause sleep-inhibiting indigestion, and excessive hunger will make you restless. So choose your evening meal wisely. A carbo-rich food, like a piece of fruit, will send that amino acid tryptophan to the brain, and that helps induce sleep. By the way, we've heard in the past, there's a lot of tryptophan in turkey.
Yes.
That's why a lot of people like to go to sleep after the big Thanksgiving meal. Proteins inhibit tryptophan's journey to your brain, making you more alert. So if you're really hungry in the evening, after your dinner meal, choose a healthy carbohydrate snack, nothing too big, instead of protein. By the way, alcohol is a stimulant, and it blocks the restful sleep experience during the REM cycle. And you want to get a good balance of minerals throughout the day, especially calcium, magnesium, and iron, because these have a sedative effect. Deficiencies in these may keep you awake.
So much great information. Sleepless in America, the topic of the program. Our guest is Susan Smith-Jones, holistic health expert, PhD. Her website, very simple, all this information. And while you're there, information on the books that we talked about and so many more that Dr. Susan has written, her website, SusanSmithJones.com. You'll follow her Twitter at Susan Smith-Jones. And, of course, all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple minutes left in the program. Can you recommend any natural sleep aids or maybe breathing exercises to support restful sleep? And I see that because we're bombarded with commercials for not natural sleeping aids. How about natural sleeping aids?
That's right.
Best to do it naturally if you can. What would you recommend?
Yes. Well, about 90 minutes before bedtime, if you like to drink tea, and if not, get in the habit of doing it. It's really quite lovely. But chamomile and lemon balm are two teas that are very calming and relaxing, and they will help get you in that mood to go to sleep. Also, you mentioned breathing. If you take your right thumb and you put it on your right nostril, like I'm doing right now, and you breathe only through your left nostril for about 5 minutes, in and out. Hopefully you don't have allergies or a cold, a stuffy nose. But this changes all the brainwave activity and helps to calm you down. And I take it a step further because I like to read the Bible every day. And one of my favorite verses is, I believe it's Psalms 46:10, "Peace be still." And what I do is when I hold my right nostril, when I inhale slowly and deeply, I say the word peace. I hold my breath for a few seconds, and then I slowly exhale. This is in Uplifted, by the way, to the words, "Be still." So inhale to peace and exhale to be still, and it will calm your mind and make you feel really happy. It will make you feel great. There's one other thing. You and I have talked about several on many shows in the past for different topics, but it's about earthing. And when you go out and you put your bare feet on the earth, let's say your backyard, the grass or the beach or wherever, it changes the physiology of your body. It transfers electrons from the beautiful earth into your body. It takes away pain, helps you relax, puts you in a more positive mood, boosts your immune system. And what it does that a lot of people don't know about is it lowers the stress hormone cortisol in your body. And remember earlier I talked about when you have a higher cortisol level, it leads to memory loss, an increase in fat storage, and a decrease in muscle. So you don't want that. And one of the jobs of sleep, besides renewing, rebuilding, and rejuvenating your body, is to bring that cortisol level down. And if you, what I've done personally is I have a earthing mat. I don't want to go outside in the backyard on the cold grass at night. I like the mat right at the bottom of my bed on top of my fitted sheet, and my bare feet are on it because it duplicates the same earthing positive results of you going out in your yard and walking barefoot on the grass. And it will absolutely help you sleep like a baby. And because our time is so limited, just go to my website and go to my search bar and put in earthing. And first of all, when you get to the page, you'll see an eye-opening documentary from scientists on how beneficial earthing, a.k.a. grounding, is for your body. And then I'll show you that little earthing mat. And it will change your life to have an earthing mat. I first got one, and then I would move it from my TV chair to my desk, then to my bed at night. And then that got to be a little bit of a nuisance. So I got two more, so I can just keep them where I need them, and they're there. And then you take your shoes and socks off, and you'll instantly, within minutes, feel happier and more relaxed. It's just one, and it will help you sleep like a baby.
Amazing. And all of this information on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Susan, any last-minute thoughts here as we wrap up to get maybe inspire us to get more sleep on a daily basis, again, going back to consistent sleep? Any final thoughts?
Yes. One final thought is on my website in the search bar, put in melatonin. What I've done on that page is I've posted a short 30-minute brilliant webinar by a research scientist, Michael Donaldson, a PhD, to show how melatonin not only will help you sleep better, but it's one of nature's best. You know, the bodies, it's a hormone. One of the best ways to, as an antioxidant, to boost your immune system. And in this short webinar, he goes through multiple studies. And I was so impressed with that I now take 1 milligram of it in a liquid dropper under my tongue when I get up in the morning and go into the kitchen. I also take it before I go to sleep at night. So there's so much more to melatonin than a sleep aid. and a little tablet you can take. It really helps your body, and you'll see studies on how it boosts the immune system, helps to prevent cancer, heart disease, so much more. And a lot of people don't know that melatonin is much more than a sleep aid. So this webinar is great. So check that out. And to bottom line all this is, keep in mind that nothing is more restorative for the body than really good sleep. Lots of it, night after night, or if you work during the night, day after day.
Exactly.
To finish up, lack of sleep undermines your body's ability to deal with stress, makes you heavy, makes you cranky, angry, impatient. And if everyone would just get a little bit more sleep and feel more rested, we would have a much better, kinder, more gentle world to live in. I think we owe it to everyone in our family and our community and the world. So I want to wish everybody, Rick, sweet dreams.
Well, and all of this is doable. It doesn't cost anything, maybe a little shifting of your priorities in life. And it's all this information in the three books that we talked about, Wired for High-Level Wellness, Invest in Yourself with Exercise, and Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. Many more books that Dr. Susan has written, around 30 more, that you'll find on our website, SusanSmithJones.com. While there, sign up for the monthly newsletter. Again, get all the information, back issues, and you'll find all great information that will change your life at her website, SusanSmithJones.com, Twitter at SusanSmithJones.com. Dr. Susan, great program today. Excellent information. Thank you for joining us. We'll do it again next month.
Thank you. I look forward to our next visit, Rick.
And it'll be coming up in just a couple of weeks right here on This Week in America. Information on today's show and all of our programs at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.